We also hear about a federal court's invalidation of voting restrictions enacted in North Carolina. At 11, Stage and Studio is off this week. We'll hear an episode of Sprouts on the music of the climate movement. What sounds, what songs, what spoken word stories will be the ones that get through to the public to help organize a global movement around climate change? And at 11:30 on Art Focus, Andre Middleton hosts a Share Your Art News call-in show. Stay tuned for Law and Disorder following this.
Come over here, to the right-hand speaker.
KBOO's book and record sale is happening August 13th at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Coot Street, starting at noon. Find treasures amongst the stacks of donated items while raising money for KBOO, your very own community radio station.
Friction between the stylus and the record produces a force which makes the arm try to swing towards the record center.
Again, that's KBOO's book and record sale, Saturday, August 13th from noon to 7 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Coot Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm now standing in the center, and my voice should be located precisely midway between the speakers.
This is Law and Disorder.
I'm New York City attorney and author Michael Stephen Smith.
And I'm New York City attorney and activist Heidi Boghossian. In what is perhaps the nation's first law legalizing direct action, Grant Township in Indiana County, Pennsylvania, passed an ordinance permitting nonviolent direct action aimed at stopping local frack wastewater injection wells. Pennsylvania General Energy Company has sued the township to overturn this local democratically enacted law that prohibits injection wells. In 2013, residents in the township learned that PGE was applying for permits that would legalize the injection well. Despite hearings, public comments, and permit appeals demonstrating widespread residents' opposition to the project, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency nonetheless issued a permit to PGE. In response, the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, along with Grant Township supervisors, passed an ordinance the next year. It established rights to clean air and water and the right to local community self-government. If a court fails to uphold citizens' right to stop corporate activities threatening the community's well-being, the ordinance provides, quote, that any natural person may then enforce the rights and prohibitions of the charter through direct action. It also says that any nonviolent direct action to enforce their charter is protected from any legal actions brought by private or public entities. Joining us to discuss how the ordinance came to be passed and the status of community opposition to the fracking are community organizer Chad Nicholson and Grant Township Supervisor Stacy Long. Welcome, Chad and Stacy, to Law and Disorder.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Stacy, you're on record as saying that you're tired of being told by corporations and regulatory agencies that community residents can't stop this proposed fracking injection well. Can you give us a brief history about PGE, the energy company, and their plan to bring toxic wastewater into your area?
I can. I can tell you that PGE is short for Pennsylvania General Energy. They are a privately held company based out of Warren, Pennsylvania. They only do business in Pennsylvania, mostly fracking. Their proposed injection well that would happen here in Grant Township is their first Class 2D injection well. They've never done this before. They regularly truck their fracking wastewater to Ohio, and they were seeking a less expensive method and solution to trucking their fluids to Ohio. So they are going to repurpose, well, what they want to do is repurpose a gas well here in Grant Township to become an injection well.
And what was the response locally from residents? Did PGE come and hold public meetings?
Well, initially how this works in Pennsylvania, in any case, the EPA oversights the Underground Injection Control Program, and the EPA had a hearing. That's the law. That's how they do it. And we had about 40 residents attend that hearing, along with the owner, and I think maybe another fellow from PGE. And that would have been in October of 2013.
And when you talk about the owner, do you mean the landowner where this would actually take place?
No, I mean the actual owner of Pennsylvania General Energy.
Ah. And
yeah.
In terms of the property where it would take place, is that public land or is it private?
It's private land.
And so the owners have given permission for this to occur there?
That is correct.
Tell us a bit about the beginning of community opposition.
Well, Grant Township is very small. The entirety of Grant Township is a watershed, which means we are very, very water rich. Every single household, and that's about 250 households, as there are no businesses or any industry, nothing goes on in Grant Township. People just live here. We all have a private well or spring as our only source of water. There is no public water in Grant Township. It is not going to happen. And if I may add, the Safe Water Drinking Act does not apply to any of us.
Why is
so
that?
So if something were to go horribly wrong, you know, there would be a large percentage of us without water.
And why doesn't it apply to you?
Because the Safe Water Drinking Act only applies to public sources of water.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Chad, what was your role in getting involved in creating the ordinance at issue? And what specifically does the ordinance say?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of ordinances and a home rule charter at this point that have been adopted in Grant Township that we have been involved with. And to back up a bit to where Stacy started the story, with the hearing in the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, in late 2013, even though there was a lot of community opposition, Stacy mentioned 40 people came out to that hearing, which in a township of 250 people is significant.
700 people, Chad.
250 households.
Yeah, right.
And so the EPA, despite the community opposition, ended up issuing the permit for the injection well anyways. And it was at that point that residents from the community, Stacy and a group called the East Run Hellbender Society, which is a citizens group within the community, contacted our law firm for help, basically saying, look, you know, we have done everything right. We went out to the hearings. We have appealed the permit. We've expressed our opposition. We think this is a bad idea. It's going to bring toxic waste into the community. We're on private wells. And this corporation has a history of permit violations in Pennsylvania. And yet they're still issuing the permit to this corporation. What else can we do? Basically, what they found is that we're currently living in a system of law that privileges harmful corporate interests above the health and safety of our communities. And so I came out to a public meeting at the request of the residents of the township, explained how this system of law works, and expressed that we would be willing as a law firm to work with them to draft a local law called the Community Bill of Rights that would be about asserting the rights of the people of the community to govern themselves and about asserting the right of the people to actually protect themselves from harmful corporate activities. It was at that point that the supervisors and the community group decided to work with us. We went back and forth on drafts, and it was in June of 2014 that the first ordinance was passed in Grant Township that prohibited the injection well as a violation of the civil and political rights of the people living within the township. So that was a couple of years ago, and that was our first involvement.
After you passed that, what, if any, was a response from PGE, or were you letting, did they know about this? Did you give them notice?
Actually, yes, we did give them notice, and PGE was very alarmed, and at the public township meeting, where the current board of supervisors were, you know, proposing to vote on whether or not to pass the ordinance, PGE did show up with a troop of lawyers to that meeting, along with about 50 residents, and our board of supervisors passed the ordinance in front of them anyway, even after they had threatened publicly to sue the township.
And did they, in fact, sue the township?
They did indeed, 2 months later.
And on what grounds was the lawsuit brought?
Yeah, they brought the lawsuit on a number of grounds, ones that we anticipated. There was, I believe, a 13-count complaint. They break down into three broad categories. The first category is that the corporation is claiming that the local ordinance violated their corporate constitutional rights under the First Amendment, Fifth Amendment, 14th Amendment, folks may be familiar, corporations have personhood rights conferred on them by the Supreme Court at this point. And so they were claiming that this ordinance violated their constitutional rights by not allowing them to inject. So that's the first category. The second category is that PGE claims that the municipality was preempted from passing a law like this, that it was not a matter of local concern, that the oil and gas activities, such as this proposed injection well, are governed under the Oil and Gas Act in Pennsylvania, a state-level law, and so that because it was a state-level law that was going to allow this to occur, that the municipality, the locality, was preempted by the state from passing a ban on the injection well. And then the third category is that the corporation claims that the municipality lacked the authority under the second-class township code to adopt laws like the one that they did. So Grant Township had been what's called a second-class township that usually elicits cackles from people, because it's true, these townships are called second-class, and people living in them often feel like second-class citizens because they are routinely told by corporations such as PGE that they don't have the authority to adopt laws that are in the best interest of the community. So the second-class township code is basically an administrative book handed out by the state that tells the municipalities what they can and can't do. And PGE claimed that the passage of this ordinance prohibiting the injection well exceeded the authority that was given to the second-class townships by the state code. So just to sum, there's three broad categories that PGE's constitutional rights were violated, that the state preempted the municipality from adopting laws on things like injection wells, and that the municipality itself lacked the authority to adopt laws. So they brought the complaints, as Stacey mentioned, just a couple of months after the ordinance was passed, and there's been a number of maneuvers in that case. We're actually still litigating parts of it today, which I'm happy to get into if there's interest.
Yeah, Chad, I'm interested. What were your responses to those three broad areas? Because I would think that the harm that you could demonstrate from fracking in other localities would be a strong argument that might counter their constitutional claims.
Sure. And we actually filed on behalf of the township counterclaim, sued the corporation back, saying that the corporation's lawsuit violated the community's right to local self-government. So within the ordinance that was passed in June 2014, it contained a Bill of Rights for the community. It said there's a right to local self-government, a right to clean air, a right to pure water, rights for nature and ecosystems. It actually laid out a new Bill of Rights for the community and prohibited the injection well as a violation of those rights. So we filed a counterclaim back against the corporation, but we also made a number of other arguments, which is that, as you mentioned, these are harmful, demonstrably harmful activities. And for a corporation to be able to claim to use state and federal constitutional protections to shield themselves from democratic lawmaking that is trying to protect the community is about the most absurd mockery of any form of democracy that we can think of. And so we challenge their claims, basically saying that corporations have certain rights and protections, but they're ultimately creatures of the state. Corporations don't exist without permission from the state legislature to exist in the form of a charter that's issued to them. And so how can a corporation, which is actually created in the name of the people of the state, then use state law and state powers to override and deny the rights of the people in the communities that they're trying to do business? So we challenged all of those doctrines frontally, basically saying corporations don't have the right to clothe themselves in the Constitution when they would be using those powers to try to deny the rights of the community that they're wanting to do business within. And we're also saying, of course, the community should have the authority to adopt laws that are in their best interest to protect the health and safety of the community. And it's a gross absurdity to say that communities lack the authority to adopt laws that are in the best interest of the community. So we challenged all those doctrines that PGE brought in that complaint and said this is not any vision or ideal of democracy, and this is about actually challenging the laws that corporations are currently using to force unwanted harmful activities on the communities.
This is such a wonderful example for other municipalities. Where are you in the case now?
I'll do my best to sum it up. There's been, I believe, over a couple of hundred filings at this point. It's been very complex, and I'll spare you and listeners most of the sordid details. But to say that in October of 2015, so a little over a year after the case was originally initiated by PGE, a federal judge in the Western District of Pennsylvania stripped out parts of that ordinance. So October of 2015, last year, a judge stripped out parts of the ordinance, agreeing with PGE that the municipality lacked the authority to adopt the ordinance. So she stripped out parts of the ordinance that she felt were beyond the authority of the community to pass. Essentially, that invalidated most of the operative parts of the ordinance. However, 3 weeks later, in November of 2015, voters in Grant Township actually changed their form of government to become what's called a home rule municipality. Home rule is a municipal designation in Pennsylvania that's available to all municipalities. There's about 2,500 total municipalities in Pennsylvania. Only about 70 have pursued home rule. What home rule does is it takes the community out from underneath the second class township code that I mentioned earlier,
right,
and it actually elevates the community to the status of home rule, which basically allows them to write a local charter. That's a local constitution, and that local charter, that local constitution, is then democratically enacted by the people. So it's not the series of rules and regulations that's been handed down by the state that tells the people in the community what they can and can't do. It's actually the people coming together to form their own constitution, their own set of governing operations and rules and procedures themselves that are in the best interest of the community. And they adopted that again in November of 2015 and reinstated the ban on injection wells the judge had overturned just 3 weeks earlier. So they looked at the judge's decision and said, we feel that's illegitimate. The courts don't have the authority to deny us our rights and to allow corporations to come in and place harmful activities in our communities against our rights. So they actually reinstated the ban with the adoption of the Home Rule Charter. That was 3 weeks after the judge's decision last year.
Wow.
The ordinance case is still ongoing. So we now have a charter in place in the township, but we're still litigating some parts of the original complaint over the ordinance because the judge basically only ruled on the second-class township aspects of the complaint. PGE is now asking for a ruling on the corporate constitutional rights of that complaint, and the judge is still basically mulling those over today. So that case is ongoing. The home rule charter is in place. The litigation over the ordinance is still in place, and it's a very complex situation. But in short, the people of Grand